welcome to The Check-In, where we're checking in each weekday on KBIA for community connection and conversation over the airwaves. Thanks for being here. Today, we're checking in with the people who are working tirelessly at the front lines, caring for others, preventing the spread of this coronavirus in our communities. They are nurses, and they are playing a larger-than-ever role in this crisis, whether it's in an emergency room or intensive care units or out in the community at drive-through testing centers and public health departments. Nurses are getting it done. And for today's discussion, we'll be talking to someone who has spent her career coordinating and educating nurses in mid-Missouri. Dr. Mary Beck is the chief nursing officer at MU Healthcare and a professor at MU's Sinclair School of Nursing. She got her start as a critical care nurse in rural Missouri. She has a PhD, an actual PhD in leadership and systems. So she is a really good person to have back on our show for the check-in. To let us know how nurses are fitting into the response of this crisis and just how they're doing right now. Are you a nurse or someone who's working on the front lines of this pandemic? We would like to hear from you. Today is about you and your stories. Call us at 573-882-9136. Or do you have a question or a comment for healthcare providers right now? Do you have someone in your life who's trying to balance the demands of the public right now with the demands of their personal life and their families? And before we talk to Professor Mary Beck, let's chat with Andrew Graybaugh. He's with the Heart of Missouri United Way. Andrew is coordinating response to this crisis on many levels here in mid-Missouri for the Heart of Missouri United Way. Andrew, welcome and thanks for joining us today.
Yes, hi. Thank you for having me.
Andrew, can you describe for us first the response efforts of the Heart of Missouri United Way right now?
Sure, no problem. So Heart of Missouri United Way is working closely with the City of Columbia, Boone County, the Community Foundation, and most recently with Veterans United Foundation, in making sure that we can address the largest needs in our community that are really coming about because of this current crisis. United Way last month it created a fund to help raise monies from the community so that we could then make grants that would go to our frontline nonprofit partners. And those funds, 100% of them, are going to these agencies in Health and Human Services. And we are quickly turning around the funds so that they can get out into the community and to help those members and our neighbors in need. But the collaborative, really, between the City, County, Community Foundation, and the VU Foundation is really instrumental in making sure that we have a collective approach to addressing the emergencies that have risen over the last month.
All right. Thanks, Andrew, for outlining that. You just mentioned the emergencies. I had another question for you, but you just mentioned the emergencies. Obviously, this is a crisis that's changing all the time. Can you tell us the nature of dealing with what you're dealing with on the ground with these emergencies?
Yes, thank you, Janet. So the best way to look at this is to compare the data that we're getting from 211, which is a 24-hour hotline that United Way helps support. Anyone can call the number 211, and the city and county are encouraging folks to do that. Mm-hmm. If we look at the data from March through April 14th of 2019, we received 203 calls. That same time period over this last month, we've received 329 calls, so an increase of around 40%. The bulk of that increase is from people who are asking for support around housing, shelter, rent support, food security, and especially around utilities, where we've seen an increase of almost sixfold compared to last year at this time for people seeking help. So we are working with our local nonprofit partners to create grant opportunities to help to address those emergency needs. Those are the three biggest needs that we're seeing.
Do you have the funds and what you need to be able to address someone's utilities problems, someone's rent and shelter emergencies right now?
So United Way has raised, through the generosity of our community, a little over $250,000 over the last 3 weeks. Through our grants, we have spent about half of that. So here's the thing that's really concerning. We feel like we have the funding in place, and especially when we talk about the larger collaborative with the county and the Veterans United Foundation and the Community Foundation, we feel like we perhaps it's going to be really tight to try to meet all of the needs. The thing that's most concerning, though, is really the long-term recovery. This is going to be a real challenge once all of these, you know, initial funds that we're getting from the government and from other sources, these are going to end at some point. And this long-term recovery is going to be a really expensive and scary thing for folks, especially when we're talking about rent assistance, mortgage assistance, utilities, and food.
Andrew, I appreciate you outlining the reality for us. It's good for us to hear. Have some more questions for you, but let me just let everyone know you're listening to The Check-In. We're talking with Andrew Graball right now. He's with the Heart of Missouri United Way. We're talking about how the United Way is responding to the crisis with 40% increase in calls and what they're able and not able, really, to do about this right now. We're going to unpack a little bit of this. And in the next half hour, we are also talking with Professor Mary Beck, MU Chief Nursing Officer, about nurses working on the front lines. Andrew, you mentioned the coordination with the Community Foundation. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that coordination is going with city county groups? Do you feel like with all of the challenges, at least everyone is kind of on the same page and you're able to pool resources?
That's right. So we created a webpage, and the webpage is comohelps.org.
Okay.
And on that website, you can find a couple of important items. First, you can find, if you are living in our community, how to get help. And the message that is coordinated is coordinated with what the city and the county is also sharing with everyone who wishes to get help. There's also an opportunity to give. So if you are able to make a gift, you can donate either to the United Way or to the Community Foundation through Como Helps. And then, like I mentioned earlier, 100% of those funds will go to helping our community during this crisis. There's also an opportunity to volunteer. And so on that webpage, you can click at a volunteer section and view the current opportunities that are listed right there. So this whole effort is being channeled through that Como Helps initiative. We have daily phone calls where we review every grant application. We review the most pressing needs that are coming to the forefront. And I tell you again, having this kind of collective work is really unique in our community. I'm really proud for United Way to be a part of it. And it helps us in making sure that we stretch time, talent, and our treasure as far as possible to help our neighbors.
Okay, we're talking with Andrew Graball with the Heart of Missouri United Way about the response efforts right now, a 40% dramatic increase in calls to the United Way. If you're out there and you're needing help, Andrew Graball is saying go to comohelps.org, or you can also call 211 and you're going to be connected with City County, United Way, and a Community Foundation and other community resources. Andrew, you're sort of answering one of the key questions I had, which is how can people help and what do you need? It sounds like what a big thing that you need and can really help is money.
You know, this is very similar to any natural disaster. There will be a time and a need for commodities, but the challenge right now is it's just really difficult to collect a lot of those. Now, I will say that money is incredibly important for a couple of reasons. One, it allows our agencies and just our community in general to be able to use those funds and be flexible with how they need to address the rising need in battling some things that we've never had to deal with before. But more importantly, when you make a contribution, when you make a gift that we can then turn around and help support a program, typically, an agency knows how to leverage those dollars. And when they can leverage those dollars, they go further and they're targeted and have a greater impact in our community. So while our community is generous, and I know people want to give anything and everything they can, but financial support right now is going to have the biggest impact in helping our neighbors.
All right. Andrew, one quick last question. The homeless population is something that we've had several callers call in with concerns about, and I know the city council and council member Ian Thomas, Michael Trapp, others have really been working to address this. Are you seeing those as some of your emergency situations you're responding to, and what are you seeing?
We are, yes. So we did provide one of our first grants that we awarded on April 1st was to Turning Point at Wilkes Boulevard,
okay.
Which is the drop-in day shelter for our homeless community. And this was to provide additional support to them so that they could continue to provide essential, just daily basic needs to our homeless neighbors. So we are seeing that. And so there was a grant to Turning Point. We've also have been working closely with the Phoenix programs and the outreach team, the street outreach team, and the work that they do. And I'll commend that while the city is trying to figure this out as well, you know, the Health and Human Services folks are doing some really great work in trying to make sure that our homeless neighbors are given the support that they really need at this time. And I really hope personally that after all of this, we take a hard look at the challenges with our homeless in our community and really come up with some long-term solutions that can help. But in the meantime, I feel like we're doing about as best as we can and making sure that they are safe too.
Okay, Andrew Graybaugh is with the Heart of Missouri United Way. Andrew, thank you so much for checking in with us, letting us know what's going on. We are going to continue to give the comohelps.org and also 211 as resources at the end of our program, and we'll continue to let people know that's where they need to go if they need help. They also can learn how to volunteer and donate right now as you're helping people respond to shelter emergencies, utilities emergencies in our community right now. Andrew, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Janet, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thanks again.
Well, thanks for what you're doing and stay in touch.
Thank you.
All right. Now back to our topic of the day, which is providers, nurses, people working on the front lines of this pandemic. What is your experience out there as a provider, as a nurse, as a family member of one of the above? We want to know what things look like from your vantage point today. You can join our call. And we have with us MU's Chief Nursing Officer, Dr. Mary Beck. Dr. Beck, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me on today.
I know you're very busy, and I appreciate you coming on. So why don't I start with a general question for you, Dr. Beck. What are you seeing and what are you hearing from nurses and others working on the front lines right now?
So what we're seeing is really an overwhelming response of we're here to take care of patients, whoever present to us. And I think they're feeling very supported. We, of course, have focused on their safety because we have to make sure all of our nurses, providers, respiratory therapists, anyone that walks into our building is safe because that we need them for the long haul. We just don't know how long this event will last. But we've been very, very conscientious of procuring supplies, making sure that people know the resources that are available to them, and try to communicate. We do communicate actually on a daily basis with an update to our staff.
Okay. Mid-Missouri hasn't seen the kinds of surge in cases yet that we've seen in big cities, but yet we are expecting a peak by some estimates in the next couple of weeks. What are you expecting in case surge, and how are you preparing nurses and others for a potential case surge?
Right. So there's been tremendous work done. So we already have identified, so the patients that are in-house, that are even COVID positive, have been determined they're positive, or that it's pending result, that we have a specific, for our COVID positive patients, a specific area that they're cared for. We have an ICU unit and a progressive care unit. That's a cohort that is a very secure area. And then we have staff that obviously have been trained to manage these patients. So our staff on our critical care unit, it's a pulmonary disease primarily if they are in the ICU. And so we have nurses that are just, well-versed, very comfortable taking care of this type of patient because they do in their, for all the patients that we care for that would come into that unit. The other thing that we've done is really say, if the big surge hits, how would we add beds? Where would be the next units that we would go to? How would we staff those? So we have a very comprehensive plan that moves throughout the organization to make sure we have enough critical care beds, ventilators, of course, our ongoing personal protective equipment that includes the masks, gowns, and gloves. And then we also have looked at for patients that do not have COVID that we still need to take care for to make sure that we have adequate beds for them. We know that if any of our staff gets sick, if it becomes very widespread throughout the community, which we know we've heard on the East Coast, that we would then have also trained over 700 staff that can step in. Perhaps they're working in our clinics now, in a research center, in other roles of nursing, and we would pull those staff in. So we've already gone through, had over 700 of those staff members be trained that they can come back in and assist and feel competent and comfortable, and we have staffing plans to match all of that.
All right. You're listening to The Check-In, KBIA's live community forum, and today we're speaking with MU's nursing chief, Dr. Mary Beck, about preparations and working on the front lines of this pandemic. Dr. Beck, let's take a call. We've got Elizabeth calling from Scotland County, Missouri. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us. What is your question or comment today?
Thank you.
Hi, Elizabeth. Did you have a question or a comment for us? You're calling from Scotland County. Are you a provider who's working there?
Yeah, so I'm the chief nursing officer at Scotland County Hospital. We are a very small critical access hospital in Northeast Missouri. And I would just echo Mary Beck's comments in, the preparation that all of the hospitals have put into the COVID efforts and keeping patients and families safe.
All right. Elizabeth, thank you for calling and giving us what things look like on the ground for you there. Have you had to sort of maneuver patients and do backup training like Dr. Beck is talking about in your facility?
Yes. So I don't think we're quite on the same scale as, MU Health or anything of that nature, but we have, renovated our med-surg department in order to be able to accept isolation patients or potential patients under investigation. And we have provided additional training for both medical staff as well as nursing and respiratory therapy.
Okay. Anything else to add, Elizabeth, about the experiences that you're seeing there in Scotland County right now?
No, I just think everybody in the community, in the medical community, has done a great job in trying to prepare for something, that we really haven't seen before.
Okay. Actually, our producer had a quick question for you, Elizabeth. Are you dealing with the Amish community in Scotland County, and how is that working with coronavirus?
Yeah, so we do have a fairly significant Mennonite community with some Amish up here, and the public health department spends a lot of time with those individuals doing education, determining who needs to be tested and things of that nature. We're here to act as a resource if and when we are needed for them.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much for the call, Elizabeth. I really appreciate you checking in with us, and please stay safe.
Thank you.
All right. Mary, do you have any reactions to what Elizabeth says? She's coming from a rural county, what is this like for nurses like Elizabeth organizing operations and responding to this pandemic in a rural setting?
I think the thing that's challenging is what would that spread look like in that community? So staying connected with the public health officials is very important. I was just on a call yesterday with chief nurses from Bothwell in Sedalia, Missouri, Hannibal Regional Medical Center in Hannibal, Capital Region Medical Center in Jefferson City, and the Lake Ozark Hospital in down at the Lake of the Ozarks. And, they all are in different levels of preparation, but there are so many resources. So the Missouri Hospital Association has worked extensively to find best resources, and I will say there's a great deal of sharing among all facilities of things that are working that we can share with each other. So our staffing plans, like we shared, I think in late March, we actually presented a webinar for nurse leaders across the state through the Missouri Hospital Association on our staffing plan. What are those things to take into consideration? And so that was open to anyone, any nurse leader across the state, and really to think about the opportunities for creating labor pools. How would you look to perhaps even bring in retired nurses or other healthcare providers and professional nurses? And then what could the training look like? And we did share our rapid acute care orientation with that group, and many wanted more details afterwards, which of course we shared. And that actually has now been used through the disaster medical assistance team that the state is standing up in St. Louis for the anticipated surge that might occur there.
Okay, great. Those are all questions that I had for you. And we can unpack a little bit about that over the next few minutes here. Let me remind people you're listening to The Check-In, KPIA's live community forum. And today we're speaking with MU Chief of Nursing, Dr. Mary Beck, about preparing for and working on the front lines of this pandemic. If you are out there working on the front lines, if you have a family member doing this, if you're maybe a student in medicine or nursing, preparing and watching the preparations unfold. Dr. Beck, we do have a caller. Wendy is calling from Cape Girardeau. Wendy, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Did you have a question or comment for us today?
Just a quick comment. I work with the QIPMO team, the Quality Improvement Program for Missouri through the University of Missouri.
Okay.
And we represent the long-term care sector in the state. We have a team of leadership coaches and nurses that work with over 500 nursing homes in the state. And I just wanted to give you guys a quick glimpse of what's going on and what we're dealing with in long-term care right now.
Okay.
Basically, we have two sides. You've got the staff who are staying in hotels or have family members staying with their kids so that those nurses do not have to bring it home. Staff are scared, you know, unfortunately in some homes, staff are walking out. But, you know, they're just carrying on because that's what we do as nurses. We carry on, right? The other side is, you know, the residents are very isolated. They're very lonely, and boredom and loneliness is a huge problem in long-term care. So we wanted to thank the community as a whole because every person who makes a home-made mask, anybody who sends free meals, donuts, you know, air kisses through the windows, thank you signs, that is our lifeblood right now. That means so much to us and so much to the residents. I know we had some church groups performing Easter service out in the parking lot and through the windows so that our residents and staff could be part of that.
Wow.
And I think this is, yeah, it's an amazing. It's horrible that that's all that had to come together, but it's an amazing time for the community, and we wanted to thank the community so much. And I think it's also a unique time for forward progress. You know, post-pandemic, I think this is really going to open the door for forging new relationships within the healthcare community, public safety, the hospitals. You know, we all need to be talking all the time because it's all of our community. And then I think also it'll open the door for community ties in general with nursing home collaboration, like arts and humanities. You know, anybody who can play, you know, a guitar and wants to sit outside a window and play some music, we need that right now. We need all the happy we can get.
Go ahead. Wendy, this is great to hear. I really appreciate you giving us this vantage point from where you are. Are you in Cape Girardeau?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And Mary Beck is on for the next few minutes with us, but we have just lost her for a second, but she's going to come back, and I think she'll want to respond to everything that you're saying. Let me just say, if you can hang on with us, Wendy, I have a follow-up question for you as well, but let me just put a call out to listeners to let you know we are talking with Dr. Mary Beck, MU Healthcare's Chief of Nursing, here for the next few minutes on KBIA's Check-In. We also are talking with Wendy from Cape Girardeau. If you're a nurse provider, let us know what you're seeing from where you are, whether it's challenges you're seeing with staffing, training, shortages, PPE, or if it's a lot of inspiration, like people blowing kisses at you, Easter services in the parking lot like Wendy is seeing in Cape Girardeau. Let us know what's happening for you. Give us a call at 882-9136. And just in the last couple of minutes here, we might be able to get you on 573-882-9136. Wendy, you're giving us a lot of the inspirations and saying thank you to the community there in Cape Girardeau. I appreciate that. Are many of the nurses you're seeing having to balance, you mentioned this a little bit, but having to balance family safety and their own personal safety with their work on the front lines? How are you all dealing with that right now?
Oh, very definitely. And, you know, I'll be honest, I'm so proud of our nurses and CNAs and therapists and housekeepers and dietitians and every single person who shows up every day to make life go on, because they are all balancing that. And as I said, some are staying in hotels so that they don't have to worry about bringing some home to their family. But like yesterday, I spoke with a nurse who has not hugged her kids in 4 weeks. You know, that's her life right now. And you know, she said she's just going to stay where she's at and hug her residents instead, because she can't go home. So she's going to be with her second family. And that's really what it's become, is their family, you know, because that's what they've got right now, the residents and the staff.
All right. Wendy, I just want to thank you so much for sharing your stories and what you're seeing there with us and taking the time to do that right now. Please stay safe and healthy, and please tell all of your colleagues there that we appreciate them and we hear you.
I will. Thank you. You stay safe as well.
Okay. Thank you, Wendy. Mary Beck, Wendy brings up long-term nursing. We really just have a few seconds here, and we have one more caller we'd like to try to get in. But do you have any comments or reactions to what Wendy says about the long-term nursing situation right now?
Yeah, we have been very concerned and actually have made some personal protective equipment available to area nursing homes. We are have worked very closely with a group that Dr. Lori Popejoy has coordinated, and working with the STEM Alliance to make sure that they can stay, the nurses working in the nursing homes can stay safe, and the other staff in those homes. So we are very much wanting to partner. We know the early problems in the state of Washington with the nursing home and the incidence of COVID that spread very quickly with many deaths. And so I think the nursing homes, one good thing that the state of Missouri did was stop visitors early in March. And I think that has made a big difference. But it's not to say that there won't be some incidence and that there is some prevalence at this point.
Okay, Dr. Beck, let's take one last call. Hank from Columbia, thanks for calling. We've just got a few seconds, but what's on your mind?
Hi, thank you. I'm a retired nurse, and I just wanted to say I don't hear enough kudos for respiratory therapists. They are the people who run the vents. They are really important in this crisis, and I just have not been hearing enough about them. So kudos to our respiratory therapists.
All right. If I may say, you're absolutely right, and they're part of our team every single day, and very, very dedicated, and they are part of our staffing plan also, as they are, I think, in every organization. But thank you for calling that out.
All right. And thank you, Dr. Mary Beck, for joining us today. You've been back a second time. We'd love to have you back for a third. Thanks so much for giving us the scoop on what things look like from your vantage point. It's valuable.
My pleasure.
All right. That's it for today's check-in. Thanks again to Dr. Mary Beck. Thanks to Andrew Graybaugh from the Heart of Missouri United Way. Thank you for listening. As Andrew Graybaugh said, go to 211 for resources with United Way. I'm Janet Saidi. Thanks for checking in. Stay well and stay in touch.